Although not really shifting gears all that much, because we're talking about another silly thing that the state government has done. Hi, Jeff. How's it going?
The state government just provides us with so much material.
Isn't it great? Last week we were talking to, I was talking with Mark Kleinschmidt. We had him in to talk about the letter to the state from the Justice Department. And we said, you know, we're going to have you on every single time that the state government does something that may or may not be a violation of the constitutional federal law. So we're just going to put him on payroll now and just have him in every day.
Well, you might need to set him up with a cot somewhere here at the state.
I think you might have one already. I'm not sure.
Wait, he gets better treatment than I do.
Gotta go. We'll set you up with a cot because now we're talking about other silly things that the state government has done. And there's been, like, we've been talking about violations of civil rights laws and potential violations of the 14th Amendment and this or that with the redistricting, the state and federal redistricting and drawing congressional and legislative district lines and the voting rights law and now House Bill 2 and every time we have you on the show, oftentimes we're talking about a sort of broader scientific issues, but every so often, and it's pretty frequent and periodic, we're talking about something that the state government has done that is not really in keeping with scientific principle.
Yeah. So, I mean, the state government, we'll get to the science in a moment, but the state government action here is about 2 years ago. I'm going to get the timing off, but it's close. About 2 years ago, the North Carolina General Assembly stepped in and stopped the implementation of the rules that were first put together in 2009 or perhaps earlier in order to protect the water in Jordan Lake
from
the overaccumulation of nutrients.
So we're shifting gears from House Bill 2 here.
Yeah.
House Bill 2 did not start with water quality in Jordan Lake.
If we must.
Whole separate thing. Yes.
If we must. Yeah. So really what we're talking about and why we're talking about it this week is the final demise of the Solar Bee experiment in Jordan Lake. Let's sort of step back and talk about why that experiment took place, why it failed.
Okay.
So this whole story has to do with water quality in lakes and streams and ponds, but in particular in lakes that are used as water sources.
Mm-hmm. Of which Jordan Lake is one.
Jordan Lake, I forget the numbers, hundreds of thousands of people
in the area,
get their water from Jordan Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Jordan, if you have a body of water that gets too many nutrients, and those are compounds that include nitrogen and phosphorus, because
mm-hmm.
those are like when you go to buy fertilizer at the store, they're always telling you, here's the nitrogen content, here's the phosphorus content, because those materials are rate limiting for plant growth.
Okay.
But if you end up getting too many nutrients in a body of water, and we'll talk about how they get there in a moment, but let's talk about the problem. If you get too many nutrients in Jordan Lake, what happens is that inspires the growth of algae, and that sets off a chain of negative events.
You get those algae blooms. We've talked about those.
You get big algae blooms. If you have an algae bloom in your lake, first of all, it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
So aesthetically, it can smell bad depending on the kind of algae. And in some particular cases, if you get the right species of algae that's blooming, it can create toxic. It gives off toxic chemicals that water treatment plants have difficulty removing.
Literally toxic in this case.
Yes, literally
toxic. As opposed to last week.
Unlike last week. everything toxic is harmful. Not everything harmful is toxic.
Yes.
And you can go to the website and listen to Aaron and I's conversation about that from last week.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first step. But when you have an algae bloom, the other thing that happens is algae has a very short life cycle. So if all this algae is growing, and the algae always grows on the surface because it needs the sunlight, and has a short life cycle. So if you're having lots of algae blooming, after its short life cycle, it falls and dies falls to the bottom as dead algae.
Right.
Well, if you're a bacteria and you're living on the bottom of the lake, I mean that's like the Golden Corral event in the lake. Right. Here comes this buffet of dead algae. So now you have a boom in the population of the bacteria on the bottom of the lake, and as they eat that algae that's falling down, the dead algae, they use up all the oxygen in the lake.
I'm not sure if this is making Golden Corral more or less likely to advertise with us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I've cut off yet another sponsor.
Or opened one up. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's why you do treat former Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt better than me. He's not driving while you're advertisers.
Yeah.
And so the bacteria, they take the oxygen out of the lake, so the lake becomes low in oxygen, and then the aquatic life in the lake, the fish and, mm-hmm. and other aquatic life, starts to die.
Right.
Right? And so that whole chain of events starts with getting too many nutrients. So let's talk about in the lake. Let's talk about where they come from.
Right.
There are three main sources. And then two of them are just runoff. Runoff from farms mm-hmm. who are using fertilizer. Then runoff from homes and businesses that are fertilizing their lawns.
Okay. Which is the greater source? Because we can always talk like farms need to fertilize. You don't necessarily need to dump fertilizer on your lawn, and you're not even sure about farms, are you?
Yeah. Well, you'll get conflicting data. Mm-hmm. What I would say we're both clear on is that both sources matter and both sources contribute. Right. Farmers are unduly focused on for this because lots of businesses and homes and golf courses, they have a tendency to over-fertilize.
Right.
Farmers tend to be more careful,
right.
and they tend to manage the water runoff from their site because mm-hmm. they've purchased this fertilizer. They don't want it to run off.
Right.
So there's active, they're actively trying to manage their fertilizer.
Whereas the golf course just wants the golf course to look
green.
Good. So, yeah.
Right. And a golf course is a much higher margin business mm-hmm. than, say, you know, growing sweet corn.
Family farm, right?
Right. So they don't need to pinch their pennies on the fertilizer. So you have both those sources of runoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other source, particularly of nitrogen-based nutrients in the water stream, are we human beings.
Okay.
As we
Let loose.
Okay. As we urinate. I can say urinate
you
on the radio.
You can say urinate, yeah.
You've got
Susan Brown came on the air and talked about poop for 20 minutes.
See,
so
well, I'm just,
you're,
you know.
You're allowed to say
I'm
urinate.
I'm trying to be careful today. there's a number of nitrogen-containing compounds that, as they break down, become also nutrients that are available
right.
to plants. Okay, so that's how the nutrients get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happened in Jordan Lake is the water quality is monitored in a variety of ways. And for a number of years now, Jordan Lake has been failing on algae. The easiest, it can take a long time to do difficult analysis, but they just measure the algae.
Right.
And when the algae is too high, you know you have too many nutrients.
You've got a problem, yeah.
And so
so you got to clean it up in some way.
You got to clean it up in some way. So about a decade ago, everybody got together and they said, "Okay, what can we do about this?" And mm-hmm. they put together a series of regulations in order to prevent the nutrients from getting to the lake in the first place. So you look over the whole watershed, all right? Because the lake's at the bottom, so that's where things accumulate. You know, it'll come down rivers and streams, but we'll talk about them again in a minute. And so the rules. Now that you understand the sources, the rules are not too difficult to understand or what they came up with. So new development has to do a better job of containing runoff from their site and more stormwater collection. Farmers need to be following the regulations if there are some that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Wastewater treatment plants would need to upgrade their equipment so that they were allowing less nitrogen, less phosphorus out of the back end.
Mm-hmm. That's part of what Hillsborough is doing right now, I think.
It could be.
I think,
I'm not familiar with the.
But they're upgrading, and it's got to do with Jordan Lake rules. So,
well, so Hillsborough, they outlet into the Eno River.
Yeah,
the Eno River goes to Falls Lake.
Falls Lake. So, oh, maybe it's so, Falls Lake. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And Falls Lake does have these types of
yes.
regulations in
yeah.
place already. So that's probably the case.
Yep. Yep.
And then, time for my quick, caveat here. I also serve on the AWASA Board of Directors, and the opinions over the next 30 seconds are my own and not those of the board.
Having said that,
when you look at a wastewater treatment plant, it is difficult for a wastewater treatment plant to clean the water more than they have to,
mm-hmm.
right? If the wastewater treatment plant's meeting all current regulations, it's difficult to go to the ratepayers or the taxpayers, however that utility
right.
is funded, and say, well, we're going to go even lower.
Yeah. And you have to pay more so that we can do something that isn't required.
Yeah. And so this sort of a situation, it needs the regulation and the water treatment plants to work in conjunction with one another. So it's not difficult to, with that description, to determine who or which groups of people were opposing the Jordan Lake rules. Because the utilities said, well, we don't want to do this because this will raise our rates.
Right.
Developers didn't want to do this because it'll raise the cost of our development.
Right.
And so there was a fair bit of pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And on a number of occasions with that pushback in place, the Jordan Lake rules had been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then about 2 years ago, they were finally going to maybe come into place again, and then that's when we had the turnover in Raleigh, and the became a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and they acted to stop the Jordan Lake rules or defer them again because we were going to have this really fun experiment.
Right.
We're going to put solar bees
yes.
in the Jordan Lake.
So what are solar bees?
So a solar bee is a solar-powered floating mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea was they were going to put these in the lake, and they were going to mix up the water, and this was somehow going to fix the problem.
Yes. Which it can do in other places. Like,
sort of, kind of.
Yeah. Like they exist for a purpose, yeah. but...
So in the past, most of the companies work for these solar bees. They've sold it to people who had ponds, mm-hmm. small ponds at a farm or a lake house, and it mixes the water up. And in my opinion, all it does is it makes the lake a bit more aesthetically pleasing.
Okay.
You can push the algae out of the way.
Right.
The mixing gives you a little more oxygen.
Looks better.
But even... You know, just in terms of mixing, we're talking about a little bit. If you have a round pond that's not very deep,
mm-hmm.
and it has a nice regular geometry, not very large, you can kind of mix that up.
Right.
Well, the idea in Jordan Lake is we were going to put a bunch of these in, mm-hmm. and it was going to mix the water, push the nutrients down to
yes.
lower depths before the algae could grow.
Okay.
At the time when this was put in place, a number of universities in the state of North Carolina wrote to the legislature, said this won't work.
Yes.
I did a commentary on the morning radio.
Yes.
Explaining why this wouldn't work.
We had a couple of conversations on Common Science.
I wrote some columns.
Yeah.
So let's talk about all of the problems with this idea.
Yeah.
You can mix up sort of a small, regularly shaped pond
yeah.
with some mixers. You can
Jordan Lake
mix
is
up.
Neither small nor regularly shaped.
Yeah, and the idea I think was to put them in the little inlets that are
yeah.
long and skinny. So just from the standpoint, forget about the rest of it. Just think that I'm going to put a couple of these floating mixers in this enormous, irregularly shaped body of water.
Yeah,
it's just not going to mix in any kind of reasonable manner.
Yeah.
And so,
someone doggy paddling on one side of the lake and expecting there to be a big wave on the other.
That great example. If Aaron doggy paddles at the end of Jordan Lake, will there be a hurricane in Florida tomorrow?
There you go. Yeah.
So it wasn't going to mix very well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then let's assume for the moment that it would mix,
mm-hmm.
and it was able to push the nutrients down. Well, they're still there. Right, so even if it was working as it intended, what you do is you would start to accumulate a higher and higher concentration of nutrients
right.
in the sediment in the bottom of the lake,
mm-hmm.
and there would be some loss of them over time. But generally speaking, they'd be built up, and
mm-hmm.
this has happened in other bodies of water that have nutrients. And then we do get that maybe you doggy paddle especially hard one day, and you do gin up a strong storm.
Yes,
that then mixes up the lake just from high flow in from the streams
right.
from wind shear. Well, then you can resuspend all of those nutrients and have a much more spectacular
more
algae bloom
yeah.
than you would have in the first place.
Right, because they've built up.
But then the other reason that really, really frustrated me about this is that Jordan Lake is not the only body of water in the Jordan Lake watershed. There are many other semi-stagnant areas of water that would also have, you know, if you're having the addition of all these nutrients from runoff and wastewater treatment plants, there are many, many other bodies of water that
mm-hmm.
that we want to protect, some of which are also drinking water sources.
Right.
And so even even if they were wildly successful in Jordan Lake, they would have done nothing for the rest of the watershed, whereas the Jordan Lake rules protect the entire watershed.
Right. And then they did nothing for Jordan Lake.
Yeah, they did nothing. They put them in about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
They took the data. There was a report a couple of months ago. I mean, surprise, surprise, they
yeah.
made no...
And we talked about this a year and a half ago when they went in, and we talked about it a couple months ago when the report came in, and in both cases, like, yeah, of course, this is not going to work.
Yeah, so now they're finally... over the last couple of weeks, they're pulling them out. I saw
mm-hmm.
some pictures, and they're pulling them out. And so the question, and I haven't been able to to find it yet on the news. So if I missed something, perhaps Mr. News Director, let me know. But the question is, okay, we're pulling the solar bees out.
So what's next?
So can we now implement the Jordan Lake rules that I think were first put together, I think got the year wrong before, in about 2006?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the answer to that yet. I mean, the implication to me would be we forestalled the rules to try this experiment. The experiment failed.
Right.
So
now get the rules
in. Now we get the rules in. But I don't know if that's true or
this
not.
This is me not holding my breath, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know all of the regulatory implications, but there are penalties. And
right.
You can't just continue to allow your drinking water source to fail water quality regulations. I know the science better than I know the law.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually they'll have to do something.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is, during those last couple of years, a year and a half, we've been trying this solar bee experiment.
The situation's gotten worse.
The situation's probably gotten worse, yeah. So it's going to be more difficult to redress at this point in time.
All right, we're going to keep following that. We got to let you go at this point because we got pushed back because of the press conference from earlier this week. But next week, you're going to be back in, and we're going to talk about.
I changed jobs recently, and they're both
changed jobs recently.
Both
so we're going to talk about this more next week.
Fun and interesting jobs. So we're going to talk a little about my old job next week, and then my new job the week after that.
And that is going to be worth listening to for me too, because I don't know what you do.
Well,
you're just some guy who walks in off the street for the last five years.
Yeah. I'm going to get a little more personal. I've had the good fortune that both of the jobs were the company this company that do really fascinating things that at least I believe will have general interest. And then, in my great good fortune, both of them have a very socially redeeming purpose.
Mm.
And so that's fun for me, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Common Science with Jeff Danner. Thank you so much.
See you, Aaron.